Hi, my name is Bria Livornia. I put this little panel together because I don't ever get sick about talking about diversity. I am a writer for Tashi Station Network. We are a Star Wars-focused site, but we kind of talk about whatever pop culture things we feel like at the time, if they interest us. I just wanted to put together this little panel because I think it's a topic we need to talk about, and I'm going to let my fellow panelists introduce themselves, starting with Amy.
Hi, I'm Amy Ratcliffe. I'm a pop culture journalist. I write for Nerdist.com, StarWars.com, and Star Wars Insider, and a few other places, and have strong feelings about diversity. Obviously, or I wouldn't be up here probably.
Hi, my name's Esther Kim. I'm the manager of Phantom Comics right here in D.C. Thank you for coming. Love you guys, too.
Love you so much.
So, I'm also all for diversity in comic books. If you follow our Tumblr, that's usually me, and I'm like, I'm kind of social justice warrior on there, because I don't care. So, yeah, let's talk about diversity, you guys.
I like when people, throw that at, first of all, as an insult. They're like, oh, here's a social justice warrior. I'm like, yes.
Yeah. I am an imperator. Thank you so
not
much.
Not an insult.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Imperator Esther.
Yeah.
That's what everyone who comes to the store has to call her. From now on, you've done this to her.
No, thank you. Please bring your tributes to the front desk.
Please no mad car races through D.C., though. Traffic's bad enough as it is.
I know, right? Yeah.
Okay, so I guess we start with why. Why do we need diversity in pop culture? The short answer is because everyone deserves to have representation and to be able to see themselves in the media that they love. And by everyone, I mean more than the straight white men who, lots of them love the characters, love my dear friends who happen to be straight white men. However, I don't really want my stories comprised entirely of them. It makes for a more interesting story. It's, we've sort of seen that when you create more diverse products, people tend to come out and spend the money because they're like, ooh, me. And then who doesn't like money? So, let's talk about the problems that we've seen. Do you want to start?
Sure. I want to mention, too, for me, I think it's really important that when you create a fictional world, yes, it's fiction, but if that fictional world is only populated with straight white males or just, one type of person, that's not the way the world is. And even when you create a world that is fantasy or sci-fi and in no way real, it should be grounded in realism. And that's something that drives me particularly nuts. We're getting better, but if you look back at Star Wars in the day, no, it's not really a representation. And I know, it was the time, and people use that reasoning a lot, but I'm pretty sure the population was still about 50% women in 1977, so maybe you could have represented that a little better. But it's important. As an adult, I can understand, I can play Han Solo. I'm just going to keep going with Star Wars because I like it, and it's easy.
We're Star Wars biased up here, sorry.
And I can rationalize that and be like, no, I can be any character I want, but when, you're a little girl or a little kid, it was important for me to see Batgirl in the Batman TV show or Princess Leia. I liked having a character that I could connect to that looked like me, and that was a silly, even when I would see a brunette character, I'm like, yes, it's not a blonde, this person is me, and I can put myself in it more easily, and I think you hold on to some of that stuff even as you become an adult. So it's just a way for you to connect with stories, and we need to have that connection available for everybody, not just, one percentage of the population.
Everything that you guys are saying, and also too, I'm just looking out at all y'all, and this is such a diverse audience to begin with. You go through AwesomeCon, and I've been sitting at a table for the past 2 or 3 days, and everyone I'm seeing, it's young, old, every ethnicity, every gender, every sexuality, everything, And so actually, if it's okay, at the very end of the panel, the last 5 minutes, if you guys could all just if we could all just take one huge group photo to show everyone out there that dude, all of us are fans. Fandom crosses every boundary you can think of. And so when you're not representing all this, clearly something is going wrong.
So, obviously, the problem is we're not getting fair representation, and one of the most obvious places you can see this is in the toys and the merchandise. Some of you may be familiar with the prominent Where's Gamora campaign, Where's Black Widow campaign, and if you are a Star Wars fan, Where's Hera? Funnily enough, I happen to have the person who started some of those campaigns sitting next to me.
I did. when Guardians of the Galaxy came out, that movie was so much fun, and I just wanted all the merchandise, and not just merchandise. I mean, I love Groot and I love Rocket, but I wanted the whole team because, you know, they're a team. And I would go out and look for merchandise, and I remember one day at Disney being really annoyed. There was a T-shirt that had, like, it was a design with five columns, so it had room for everybody. And instead of including Gamora, they repeated Star-Lord and Groot. And I'm just like, really, guys? Because I don't, why would you do that? And it just seems, I get really, strong feelings. I get really annoyed when they go out of their way to exclude, you know, the non-white person or the lady.
And so I started. Peter Quill is, you know, he's not 100% of a dick. But even he probably wouldn't exclude Gamora from that T-shirt.
No.
He knows better.
He'd be scared to. Like, she's part of the team. So I started looking around more at merchandise and realizing how much she was left out. And so I started Where's Gamora? And people ran with it. And it was good. Like, it increased awareness. But then the frustrating part is you get to Avengers Age of Ultron, and it's the same, like, where's Black Widow? I want to say where Scarlet Witch too, but Quicksilver actually didn't get, he wasn't around a lot in merchandise either, so that kind of makes me feel better. But it's just a continuing struggle to get, like, I feel like sometimes companies are getting better. I feel like actually Lucasfilm is making steps in the right direction, but then licensees who make the toys, like if Force Awakens comes out and we don't get any Daisy Ridley toys, I'm going to flip every table between here and San Francisco.
Set your clocks basically for September 2nd, which is Force Friday, when they're doing the giant Everything Force Awakens release, because if there are no Rey toys on the shelves, you will hear the screams of anger and so many tables breaking. Just here from Atlanta, because there's a large convention there called Dragon Con, which has a very strong Star Wars presence, and like every Star Wars blogger goes there. So many broken tables. All of them.
And Esther, I'm curious, since you're in a shop and you probably have to manage, you see a lot of that merchandise come in. What's your...
Yeah, it's an never-ending struggle to find, people who actually produce these things and, like, distribute them. To find female characters on things that don't say somebody's girlfriend or waiting for somebody. You're like, really? Nah, man. Like, I'll just do it myself. So, because we actually actively complained and had a voice at, like, several retailer outlets and what have you, some of them have gotten much better. And then we have, like, really cool companies like We Love Fine and Her Universe and a few others working on the apparel and the T-shirts. But, again, let's be honest, like, when you're talking about kids taking their lunchboxes to school or, like, taking cups, like, I remember I used to have, like, Disney Princess lunchboxes that I was so proud to take to school with me. And I love all the Darth Vader and everything else. Like, let's make sure that for all those kids out there who went to a movie, fell in love with a character, and then wanted to, like, rep that character so hard afterwards, like, we've got stuff. We can bring it into the stores. We can hand a Gamora lunchbox or a Black Widow, like, cup to a kid and be like, hey kid, like, this is all you now. Like, this is you, you know? Yeah.
I think part of the problem is a lot of these things are Disney companies we're talking about, and Disney seems to have this idea that despite there being plenty of evidence otherwise, including, you know, a giant convention about a month ago that was filled at least half of women there for Star Wars, and most people were not just mothers or wives going there for funsies, that there are a ton of female Star Wars fans out there, and that there are a ton of female comic book fans out there. For example, Phantom runs a ladies' night every month, right?
Every other month, yeah.
It is packed.
Yeah.
Like, thank goodness they moved to DuPont, because when that store, that was in Union Station, you could not breathe of how many women were there because they wanted to express their fandom.
Right.
And what we've sort of figured out, at least on the Star Wars side, is you have to speak out. You have to make your voice heard on social media, because that is the one way to get people's attention. In the case of Star Wars Rebels, we were having a ton of issues with Hera and Sabine. And for those of you who haven't seen the show, it's very much an ensemble cast. Hera is the captain of the ship. She flies the ship. She's in charge of that.
It's her ship.
Like, it's so her ship. Kanan, who is her counterpart, I guess, her the lead, he's in charge of the Rebels, but he doesn't make decisions without checking with her. And then Sabine is a Mandalorian teenager who is very, very effective. You can't say that, if one of them wasn't on the team, you wouldn't have the same effective team. However, when they first announced all the toys, we got Kanan, we got Ezra, we got the droid, we got Zeb, all the male characters, no ladies. Then we did the outcry, we were like, hey, what you doing around here? And then was it about a month later, a couple weeks later? It was, they're like, oh, hey, look, we've got Hera and Sabine toys. They're going to be in the next, we'll put them in this wave. We'll make you happy. Will you stop yelling at us, please? Which, granted, there's also still problems trying to find those toys. But we have noticed that when you speak out and when you say things, it does get their attention because it is bad PR, to put it very simply. It doesn't always work. But it's at least worth the effort. I'm trying.
Yeah, I agree. And sometimes it gets exhausting. You feel like you're having the same arguments. You're tweeting the same things. But that's how they know. If you speak up and you do so, especially if you do so professionally and don't just curse at them, which as good as that can feel to get off your chest, it's not always super productive. So that definitely, like with the Age of Ultron stuff, Funko released a line of their cute little pop bobbleheads that all of you probably are addicted. Some of you are probably addicted to. Don't start buying them if you haven't. You'll be addicted. But they released the Age of Ultron, and it was literally everybody, even Hawkeye, who gets left out a lot. Everybody except Black Widow, and I was not okay with that. Several people weren't, and between like, I wrote about it on Nerdist, and other people wrote about it on other sites, and not too long after that, the Funko. Like marketing lady, she's like, "How would you like to exclusively reveal our Black Widow figure?" Like, I would like that, and it's important. I know we probably need to move on from this subject, but I have again feelings. But it goes both ways too. There are a lot of boys and men who like Disney princesses, and it's not easy to find a lot of that kind of stuff. Like, and men's T-shirts featuring Elsa. So it's a hugely frustrating problem in the toy market that I feel is just. Like this chicken egg situation.
I think you bring up a really good point, though, because there is sort of a stigmatism against people going against what society says their gender should like. If you go on Disney's website, they have girl toys and they've got boy toys. I mean, everyone here knows how big Frozen was. That was not limited to the girls. I mean, I'll say this, my nephew adores, he's 2 going on 3, adores Elsa. He puts towels over his head so he can have pretty long hair like her. Cutest thing ever. But, they want to go out and do this. And you hear these reports from about these parents who are like in the, they're shopping with their kids and someone will go, they'll get a Frozen toy, something for a princess, and some stranger will go, "Oh, that's not a boy's toy. You can't do that." And vice versa.
Or worse, their parents will say it.
That's the worst part.
Yeah.
These stories should not be gender specific. If they have good messages to them, if they are strong stories, if they are interesting and they're good, I mean, everyone should be able to enjoy them. We should work on trying to make it so it's not like little boys can only like Star Wars and little girls can only like princesses.
And then also, just to bring it back a little bit, too, like, when we're talking about all this diversity in pop culture, not to get too, like, heavy or, like, serious about this, but really what we're talking about is, like, diversity in culture being represented, and I feel like 2015 is the year. Like, am I right, you guys? Like, we're having all these conversations about diversity and representation everywhere, like politics or, like, just greater wider culture and what have you. So I feel like pop culture, a lot of people just kind of say, hey, I mean, clearly not you guys. You guys are here. But, like, a lot of people outside these walls will say stuff like, oh, does it really matter if, like, you see black people or Asian people or, like, disabled people or, like, whatever the hell on your TV screen for, like, 5 minutes every week? And you're like, heck yes. Like, absolutely. Because, like, how many more people is that TV reaching than one single voice at any given moment? Like, how many people are all these huge creative fandoms and, like, outlets reaching these films, the comic books, everything? Like, God knows I learned a great deal reading, like, young adult science fiction and young adult, like, comic books and everything when I was a kid about worlds, like, you know, different planets, but also different, like, cultures and worlds of people that I would never have known about otherwise. And so, like, in terms of diversity in pop culture, like, yeah, let's make 2015 a year where we're having these conversations and we're moving forward and we're being vocal about it, but also we're getting to the point where we don't even have to, like ask for it anymore. Like, people just understand that this is yes. reality and that everyone should be represented.
And over the past year, there definitely have been people getting it right. I mean, I started making a partial list when I was going over the notes for this and came up with a lot more things than I thought I was going to. I mean, this is a partial list, so no one jumped out my throat if I missed your favorite thing. TV. You've got Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I know some people are like, about that show is the story of a biracial Asian woman. Yeah. Like, you can say what you want about it being Phil Coulson's right, yeah. story for the first half. Anyone saw season two? It's all about Skye. You've got Melinda May up there kicking butt. I mean, as far as gender goes, that the main cast, which has grown a lot, pretty evenly split in terms of gender. There's been a heck of a lot of brown people on there, too, which is just makes me happy. Look at The Flash. They've race-bent Iris and Joe West, so, you know, that's a pretty big deal. Look at the Fantastic Four movie that's coming out, which we're going to get into that a little bit more later. You've got a black Johnny Storm. Star Wars Rebels. I'm sorry I keep coming back to that. It's just a really good show, and you should all go watch it. It's amazing. Season 2 starts in, like, 3 weeks. That is a main core cast with no straight white males. The creators have confirmed that. We've got, you know, two guys who are brown. You know, I don't really know what you call it in Star Wars. I mean, they're not, like, African-American. They're not Hispanic. There's an Asian female, you know, Twi'lek,
subspecies again?
Lasat, thank you. And you've got a really, really angry droid. I mean, that's a pretty big deal. And then on the non-geek side, you've got shows like Fresh Off the Boat, which is amazing and you should all watch it, and Black-ish. I mean, ABC is kicking butt in terms of all of this.
Just to let you know, Fresh Off the Boat is a little too real sometimes. Like, that was basically top of you guys. But, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, like, they are doing it right, and we do want to applaud them when they do these things. We do want to bring attention to this. And when it comes to people doing things right in comic books as far as diversity goes, put your money where your mouth is. That is the most important thing I can say. And Esther can probably talk more about this, and she runs a store. But pre-ordering, so, so key. So, like, books like Ms. Marvel, books like A-Force.
Lumberjanes!
Yeah,
yes.
Right? Okay, I think I can actually say it here. Big Planet. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Saga. I mean...
Yeah, Rat Queens.
Yeah.
Princess.
Yeah. Sorry. Ooh, that's good.
Yeah.
Gotham Academy, even. That's just... The one DC book I read is amazing. I mean, and as far as I completely lost where I was going with that. Oh, Marvel. No, I got it. There we go. As far as Marvel goes, this is the best time to start picking up books because Secret Wars just started. Everything kind of went kablooey. You currently have a universe in which you've got, you know, the all-female Avengers team. You've got Steve Rogers riding a T-Rex in another book.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah, no. Planet Hulk, number one, is the most amazing thing I've read in my life. I'm it really is. Getting off topic, I'm sorry.
No,
it
no,
features Gladiator Steve Rogers on a T-Rex riding side saddle. I cannot make this up. Sam Humphries is a god.
Yes,
go pick up that book. You will appreciate it. Yeah. Continue, I'm
yeah,
sorry.
No. Yeah. But, like, yeah, who's getting it right? Like, again, I'm like, when we get to question and answer portion in a little bit, I would love to hear some of what you guys are loving about who's getting it right in terms of diversity in pop culture. Because, like, I read about, on average, 50 titles a week just to keep up.
Holy crap.
No, just because, like, I'll
yeah,
I don't know.
Do you sleep?
I don't. That's okay. Like, I took a, don't tell anyone else outside this room, I took a nap behind the table, like, yesterday, like, on the floor. Like, I borrowed somebody's, like, pillow and I just took a nap. But it's totally, okay, thank you. Yeah.
I'm not
totally,
even surprised.
Totally yeah, oh, yeah, no, it was your pillow that you made. It was super comfy, thank you. But, like, it's totally worth it, because when you're reading that many titles, I mean, this is the thing, like, people are kind of interspersing diversity in a lot of different ways. So not just some major, like, eye-catching popular titles, but also, like, a lot of DC, under the radar, people are making shit happen, stuff happen. So, yeah, sorry.
We're trying, sorry.
Yeah, I'm really trying.
Can't control her.
They're making stuff happen. So, you know, we'll take questions in a little bit. So, really, like, it's just a matter of, like, finding them, and it's a little harder. But again, this is what we're talking about. Like, let's make it so supremely easy for you to look at a cover and, like, be able to tell that this is whoever you're looking for, whatever you're looking for, is going to get represented in there, and you're going to hear stories about everyone.
Yeah. And I think it is, like, when you see that stuff, sometimes I'll hear, and again, a Star Wars example, I'm sorry slash not sorry, but they introduced the first LGBT character to canon in Lords of the Sith, which came out recently. And that actual aspect of the story doesn't, it's not a huge part of the story, it's kind of mentioned and then done. But before the book came out, a lot of people, you know, it got a lot of play on the interwebs because it's the first. And a lot of people are like, well, why are you sensationalizing this? This shouldn't be news. You're just advertising for Del Rey. And I saw a lot of stuff on social media in that regard. But my point to that and anything that's similar is, yes, I want to call it out when people actually do it. It shouldn't be that way. We shouldn't have to be like, this is a novelty and we're so excited. It should just be, you know, part of every story. But until it is naturally part of every story, yes, I'm going to call it out and say, look at this, they're doing it right. Because the more I think you applaud when people take steps towards diversity and bring it out, you know, bring it up and show it to others and be like, look, this is a thing people are doing. You can do it too. All of you can do it. And it and be more inclusive. So I think it's important to, you know, to give props when that stuff comes up until it is just a natural part of every story and we don't even have to think about it.
And just to jump off of that a little bit, the writer of Lords of Sith was not asked to put in an LGBT character. He just did that on his own. It was, when you read the book, it just happens very naturally. It sort of mentions part of her, it's sort of part of her backstory in a way. But it's not like, it's not if the character had been straight, her entire story plot was not built upon her sexuality, which I think is a great way to do it. But also, I mean, this was the first of the new canon, and the new canon for Star Wars has already given us a ton. We've had a black female Star Destroyer captain. We've had, you know, now we have a gay Moff. I mean, if you had asked me 2 years ago if that was going to happen, a gay female Moff, I would have said, well, we've got our gay Mandalorians, and that's about where we're going to go. So the fact that, like, these people are doing this, it's... You know, I really want to applaud them because they don't have to do this. They're doing this on their own and because they want to have a more diverse group of characters because it's the galaxy far, far away. I mean, they've got people who are green and tentacles coming out of their heads. You really think they're just going to keep to, like, you know, just that? Come on. Just come on.
I had a thought and I lost it. Sorry. Yeah. So, like, we'll come back to me. It's cool.
I mean, we can keep talking Star Wars because we've got a couple more.
I know. Do you want to? You guys would probably all, like, well, stop it.
Does anyone, is anyone super sick of Star Wars at this point? Otherwise, well, you don't count.
Okay. Yeah, no.
You don't count, Kai. Put your hand down.
No, but I guess, okay. Got like, yeah, I amongst comic books, I guess.
Yeah,
because that's what I know. Again, just seeing all the different characters and what have you. What was it? Introducing the new characters in... So, I got it now. I think we can all agree, too, to a certain extent, that we can kind of tell when... There's several different ways to represent, right? So we can tell when people are, like, publishing companies are reacting or doing it as a stunt.
Yeah, versus, or like to need, like, a quota.
Right, like when Marvel and DC had competing gay weddings in their comic books. Right. Marvel came out first with like, look, we're being so awesome. We're like finally letting North Star marry that boyfriend that you guys might not have heard about because we've never actually written like been like focusing on their story or like written them in or represented them at all. But it's 2014, so maybe we should do this now.
And tons of fans are now sad that they just finally revealed that Bobby's gay because was huge.
But like stuff like this where like sometimes you can tell that writers or creators or different companies are doing it because of love of characters or like just because they're representing because that's who they know in like culture and like that's what they're writing and it's just like a part of their daily lives. And then like when they're doing it for like attention and like trying to grab you and like be like, hey, look at us, we're so shiny and diverse. And really in reality they're not in any of their hiring practices, in any of their actual creative representation or like any of their public statements anywhere else. And so that kind of dichotomy always gets me a little bit too, because it's not like we can't tell. We're all like, it's the 21st century, there's the internet, we can see what they're saying, what they're doing, how they're repping, and it's a little disingenuous sometimes, but at the same time, I don't know, like, I'm a little torn because you're still making a canon, you're still giving us gay characters and what have you, and there's a tiny bit inside of me that's just like jumping up and down going like, yeah, we did it! You know, when we, you know.
But you have though, because if you speak up and you're part of that culture of encouraging it, you do. I think you do play a part in it.
So pat yourselves on the back.
Yeah, we are.
Good. There we go.
Yeah.
And something I just thought of, total tangent, but where I've seen diversity kind of improve too is young adult books.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I don't have a whole lot to say other than that.
No, yeah.
But
absolutely.
I feel like we're making progress. Like, I don't know, like off the top of my head, Greg Weisman's Reign of the Ghosts, mm-hmm. Scott Westerfeld's Leviathan series. I really enjoy reading young adult books. And I feel like in the past like 5 years, that's become slowly like more diverse in the leads instead of just having the diverse people kind of in the background or, you know, part of the supporting cast. So I feel like we have a long road ahead, but I legitimately feel like we're making progress. And I think it is in part to people speaking up.
Yep. Okay. We can start taking questions now. Whoa! Okay! In the front.
Okay.
Yes, bless you for Silk. Silk is amazing. Sorry.
Yeah, and there's a lot of diversity happening in Agent Carter. Like, I know that, you know, they've discussed, like, I know that the entire cast is basically for Peggy and Angie, like, they having, like, a romantic involvement, and, like, I know they've discussed a lot of diversity season two, but, like, I think what bothers me about diversity is that there's not a whole lot for mental illnesses, because whenever a writer brings disability, they automatically think, oh, we're going to make them blind, we're going to make them deaf, we're going to make them physically disabled somehow, but, like, you know, like, just out of curiosity, I, you know, Googled characters in mental illnesses the other day, and it was like entirely just, you know, oh, this person is crazy, let's send them to the asylum. It's all like psycho villains. You got, you know, you got your, you know, deranged, absolutely psychopathic, and then there's nobody that's canonically like anything else.
Yeah, so I actually used to be a part of Active Minds in college, which is
question.
Oh yeah, sorry. So it's just a discussion of like representation of mental illnesses within, like, pop culture, where, like, you know, whether it's even being represented properly, and I have the feeling you've got the feeling it's definitely not.
It's not.
Yeah, and so, like, what I'll see is a lot of people saying, oh, hey, like, certain powers or certain, like, story structures or what have you, or, like, metaphors for it, but also, too, I would almost say, like, I think the one I'm thinking of is, like, Alish Cote, like, Secret Avengers, or, like, in a couple of others, where he seems to have a handle on maybe representing it, or, like, explicitly stating. And that's the thing, too, like, when people are like, oh, no, we're using this as a metaphor for this kind of diversity or what have you, I think explicitly stating it or, like, addressing it head-on is like, really, like, important, too. So I would say, people should do better, and it's really easy to, like, make mental illness in particular invisible as opposed to addressing it, like, head-on, so...
I know there have definitely been some shows where friends of mine have said that they read the character as being autistic, or they read the character as having like severe depression, but it never really gets confirmed in the show. One of the few examples I can think of would be Katniss, as far as that PTSD. I mean, they don't say in as many words, but girls got some issues, and I would too if I went through that.
Oh.
But I mean, I think it is important that when you have it, I think sometimes we have the writers writing these characters with these mental illnesses in mind, but never really confirming them, and that's something they should definitely do.
Yeah, I will say quickly one story that I liked that handled that was when New 52 launched with Batgirl. They showed Batgirl going to a psychologist to talk about her, you know, her PTSD and after what happened with the Joker. I like the new Batgirl. I don't know how it can it doesn't fit in the same tone, and I feel kind of bummed that I feel like they dropped that thread of her recovery, but there needs to be more. But I like seeing it, like, directly addressed in that comic.
You in the shirt with the thing on the stomach.
Hang.
Oh, I see it now. Sorry.
I was going to say, the TV show from last summer, Black Box, I thought, it's not genre, but I thought it handled mental illness pretty well. In that it was, you know, explicitly stated what each patient was dealing with, a variety of neurological and neuropsychiatric disorders. Each patient was treated as a complete person with all different kinds of things going on in their lives. And one of my favorite stories was a lesbian couple where one was suffering from the Capgras delusion, a real disorder where a person believes that someone in their life has been replaced with an identical impersonator.
Yeah.
And this had the perverse effect of ameliorating their lesbian bed death because she thought her life was a stranger, so it was sexier. But they had to find a solution because they were having good sex, but they no longer had intimacy because she didn't recognize her wife as her wife.
Yeah.
Black Box. Okay, I haven't heard of that.
Yeah. Me neither.
Just wrote it down. Huh.
In the front here.
There's a legend of Korra. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You're right.
She's going through a lot of issues with that silver poison still being inside of her.
Yes.
They touch on the subject of PTSD with her.
Yeah. Actually, speaking of Korra, that show did a very good job in seasons 3 and 4 of promoting diversity. I mean, to start with, that's a very diverse cast, and the fact that they were able to confirm as much as you possibly could on a Nickelodeon children's show. I mean, the creators came out and said it, but the fact they were able to get, you know, a lesbian couple confirmed at that end was very impressive, and I've got nothing but good things to say about the end of season 4.
If the rest of you have recommendations for really good representation of mental illness in pop culture, please, please, please come up afterwards. We're going to make a list and do a hashtag, but we'll continue taking questions.
Yeah. Actually, do you guys just want to make a line? Would that be easier so that way I don't miss anyone?
Yeah, just write down in
this?
The center aisle. Unfortunately, I don't think they handed us mics.
They didn't give us any. They're not going to move off this table.
I could, like, try to bring one down and, like, hold it for you.
No, don't do that. We're not breaking the material.
We're not, yeah.
Okay.
Never mind.
All right. Yeah. Do you guys want to make a line for questions? That way we can get out to everyone.
Yeah. Just repeat the question.
Yes,
yeah,
we got it.
Yeah.
You just had yours.
But, yeah, I just had a
question. Is it about the same topic? Okay, can you
it's
go
like
to the
seconds at a barbecue.
Can you go to the back so we can get to everyone? We don't care.
Good.
We're good.
Yeah.
Good, yeah. All right. In the front.
Yes. So this relates somewhat. What would you say? So this is about minorities, specifically minority characters, and thinking about you know, the LGBT world, about trans characters, or about people with disabilities. A lot of the time, I have this discussion with people about we're you know, picking at the table for scraps. Characters, and we don't get a lot of good ones. We don't get a lot of good writing. You know, we get a lot of characters that are stereotypes. You know, if you see a character with a disability, it's someone who's like a villain. Or if you see like a trans woman of color, it's someone who fits very specifically into a very specific box. Can you speak a little bit to the phrase, I'd rather have bad representation than no representation?
Right.
Because I've talked to people who have both opinions and very strongly. And I fit into a box, and I have strong opinions both ways. Some days I wake up and I say, I'd rather be represented badly. Some days I wake up and I say, I'd rather you not do it at all if you're going to screw it up that much.
Right, yeah.
I don't get started.
Yeah, no. So I am right there with you. There are days when I'll see something I'm like, well, at least we got some screen time. And there are other days when I'm like, this isn't worth it. Like, we should have better. We deserve better. No matter which side of me, like, whatever diversity I'm trying to, like, you know. And so I think, you know, like, I use the phrase baby steps, where, like, let's at least try to get some screen. But also at this point, I'm kind of frustrated, and I see examples of people doing it right, and, like, we shouldn't have to settle. And so, like, I guess that's no answer at all. But really, it's just whatever makes you excited as a fan and gets you thinking, hey, there is a space for me in this culture. That's what it comes down to. Like, all this diversity that we're repping, like, basically what it comes down to is, can you see yourself in this fandom? Can you see yourself in that place? Like, I had to see myself in the place of, like, Han Solo and what have you, you know? Like, and so it's more like, yeah, can you see yourself represented in this culture? And if it happens to be a badass villain, yeah, that's awesome. If it happens to be, like if it's feeding into stereotypes that I just can't deal with, like, there are a lot of pop culture shows that, like, feed into, like, certain stereotypes, like, and I'm done with that. And so I guess what I actually am saying is, yeah, let's get good representation on the table. I'm, like, super frustrated with people who can't figure it out. So
my only comment on that is that I mostly agree, because it is a very tricky topic. But I think that we just need to make sure that we don't put the diverse characters up on a pedestal. Because for me, I don't want to see... Whereas I'm sick and tired of, like, the Asian and Arabic terrorists. Like, that trope needs to die. In a fire. But on the other hand, I think that there are... I'm not saying you should never have any Arabic or Asian or insert brown person here bad guys. Because it can be very well done. My example I'm going to use is Iron Man and with Iron Man 3. Because... Oh, yeah. I'm about to open a giant bucket of worms, and I'm really sorry. For Iron Man 3, we were promised the Mandarin, and if anyone here ever read Matt Fraction's Invisible Iron Man, number one, it was amazing. Number two, if you haven't read it, you're wrong. Please go read it. You will thank me later. He did an amazing job with the Mandarin and took him beyond this racist stereotype, which, to be honest, he was
Mandarin.
Marvel in the 60s and 70s. But he made this man who made himself and made the image of himself. And remember, in the lead up to Iron Man 3, I was very, very excited that we were going to get something like that. And that's why I was fine with Ben Kingsley being cast. Because I was like, you know what? He's mixed race, which the Mandarin is. He's Indian. But you know what? At least they seem to be going with the Fraction thing. And then we got to the point where we didn't have... He just was the actor. And we had another white guy villain. And to me, and some people were like, oh, well, this is so much better. It's not racist. And it was funny because most of the white people were the ones saying that to me. And for clarity, I'm half Chinese. To me and my Asian friends, and we're sitting there going, but we could have had more. We could have had a really cool Asian villain who was more than what he seemed to be. Yeah. So I just think it's important. Like, we have our good guys and our bad guys of both colors, diversity, et cetera, et cetera.
Adele, we could have had it all.
We could have had it all so many times.
Yeah, but I guess, so the pithy statement I thought of while she was breaking it all down was diverse representation of diversity. Like, not just one or the other, but diverse representation of diversity, like, across the board.
Hashtag that.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Yep.
I like it.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you. That was great.
Yeah.
Is in sci-fi and fantasy literature and books.
Yeah.
And I find that when I'm making certain arguments about diversity, the defensiveness is different because it's so much about what's in people's heads. And when you challenge what people visualize as they're reading, it kind of hits a different thing inside of people. And so I think of, like, you know, the argument that we need to see ourselves in our pop culture. But I tend to argue more there, like, you need to see more representation so that you can have a larger world by which to create things that are then more expansive. And so do you think that that's true for, like, you know, comic books and movies and television, where we are interacting as viewers and as consumers in different ways than we would, you know, amongst them?
I'm thinking.
I would actually say that in a visual medium, that the onus is on, like, the artist.
Yeah.
Because you are building the image that the person is going to see in their head. In literature, it's a little bit more collaborative in terms of the reader brings to it the visual aspect inside their head. At the same time, I feel like I grew up reading a lot of, like, young adult sci-fi and sci-fi fantasy. And because things were written a certain way or represented a certain way,
I was envisioning a lot of things outside of my own scope of understanding when I was, like, say, 10. But I was starting to, like, figure it out. Like, when, I don't know if you guys know Tamora Pierce at all.
Yes.
But, like,
she
yeah,
is
no,
wonderful.
Thank you. But Tamora Pierce, the way she represented all these characters, like, I was imagining brown characters in my head and, like, queer and, like, everything else. At a time when I didn't even know these were words or concerns or, like, things that I had to worry about. Like, and so I say it starts early. I say, like, yeah, it's, the onus is on the creative person to, like, kind of bring it in terms of, like, making sure that
it's there.
Yeah, it's there. And that you have something to hold on to and build in your, like, they're building the foundation, you're building the structure.
And speaking of Tamora Pierce, she's one of those authors who has grown. And she will be probably the first one to say, you know what, had a lot of straight white people when I first started. But if you look at her more recent books, you see a lot more attempts to bring in the diverse characters and to have them in there. And I think it's important that not only we see this, but that the authors learn themselves and try to have more there too. I think we lost your question, but
yeah, no.
I mean, basically you stated everything so perfectly. We're just like, I know.
Yeah,
I got nothing.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Structured to appeal to straight white men. Like, one of them, we see it a lot in Disney, where they change the titles of The Snow Queen to Frozen, or Rapunzel to Tangled, just to appeal to little boys, because they won't go to a movie that has the main character as a woman. And, like, specifically, they can be a little weirdly racist even now.
A little?
Women, let's just go there. But,
yeah.
And second, they tried to change the trademark at the end of those marks. And I'm just like, excuse me?
What?
Yeah. This isn't white features and ethnic skin tones. How about no? And there's just so much there that it's like, how do you think we can change that? Because it's 2015. And, like, no biracial couples. And even in universes where it makes sense, like, I mean, obviously in Firefly, you've got a great biracial couple. We've got a world ruled by Chinese tradition, which is awesome. Go with it. But we got one Chinese crew member. Hi, no. And
did we?
Through all the populace, you go through like the crowd scenes, and it's like all these Chinese people and all these American people, and then on the crew you've got like it's not represented. Even
wait, who's the Chinese crew member on Firefly?
One of them.
Kaylee is half.
Or meant to be?
No.
I'm pretty sure girlfriend's white.
Well, like,
yeah, it's even worse.
Simon
like,
and River
yeah.
Tam have like,
I know,
a last
I was like,
name that's Asian, so I didn't know anything about it, and I read Simon and River Tam. I was like, holy. Yeah, and then that didn't happen.
Not two white guys solving your problems. And like,
Wait, hold on. Pause Pacific Rim.
Yeah.
I will fight you on Pacific Rim because that movie is brilliant and wonderful.
Until they do Mako Mori out at the end.
But Mako, I mean, Pacific Rim is Mako's story. Like, that's. Girl kicks some butt. I mean, like, yeah, like it's framed as being Raleigh, but if you look at it at its core, I mean, she's taking care of business. I mean, her and Stacker. I mean,
Pentecost. What a name.
That's I
what
love
a,
these names.
What a
Pentecost. I mean, he gets. They're in charge. They get. I mean, she's kind of like going along with. You know, because she's... Actually, hold on. I'm going to go on a little rant about this.
Yeah.
It bothers me when we try to put Western sensibilities on other cultures. So I remember when I was seeing... When Pacific Rim came out, a lot of people were saying, oh, Mako was too deferential. Mako was too... Like, the respect thing. Uh-uh. Just no. Like, there's... When she says that, you know, it's not... What's the line? Something, it's respect... That's a big deal. That's a huge deal in Eastern cultures. And I don't think it should have been treated as being wrong.
It just doesn't, like, have a lot of
women. I will not disagree with you there. Yeah. It did need more women, and I'm still sad that Crimson Typhoon was not piloted by female quadruplets like
it was
originally planned.
Yeah,
but to be fair, it was supposed to, be a four-armed Jaeger piloted by four female Chinese quadruplets, but shockingly, that's a little hard to find.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So, like, how do you guys think we can change that? Because, I mean, you
don't see a whole lot. Like, even we have a Black Disney Princess now. Awesome. But, like, she couldn't have, like, it just boggles my mind that in romantic comedies, you can't have a black man marrying a white woman. You can't have a white guy with a black woman. Mm-hmm. But you can't have, like, in all the movies, it's like, oh, he's black. Okay, then she's got to be Mexican. It can't. And, like, they're trying to find their audiences. Why can't we all be the audience? They're trying to tell us that we all have to be different.
On at least on my side, like, talking to a lot of creatives and, like, working with the industry and what have you, it's just you get people creating the stuff to realize, or you get the right people to create these franchises or, like, talk to them or, like, you know, like, it's literally just, it's unfortunate but true, but people create what they know to a certain extent, even if they don't realize, like, that what they know is really tiny or, like, what they know is super diverse. Some people just do it as a matter of fact because all their friends are diverse or, like, everyone in the world is diverse and they look around and, like, realize it. And some people make their worlds very, very small because that's who they're hanging out with or that's all they know. Cameron Crowe, Aloha, what?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, yeah, not to, like, not to throw that in there, but, like,
yeah,
but kind of sort of. But, you know, it's that...
She's white!
Yeah, so it's that thing where, like, you know, you kind of just try to educate everyone... no matter how, like, through friendship or, like, just by, like, ranting or, like, by, like, being a diverse voice. But this is the thing. You do it by doing this. Like, creating movement, being a voice, being out there, telling people, talking to people, just having these conversations, and then make sure that the people who are creating, like, are keeping up with the times.
Yeah. Yeah, and also, if you're not, you know, if you are a creator, if you have those tendencies, you change it by making your own worlds that way. If you're a comic book creator, you're into movies... When you go out there and make your you know first steps into that world, make it diverse. You want to be the example. You want to set the example. So I know it sounds like that would never make a difference, but I truly feel that if we keep speaking up and keep talking, that we will.
Yeah, that's
we
all
will
that
drill it into Hollywood's
yeah.
head.
It's about yeah, getting
like,
the right
yes.
people in charge. I mean, Kathleen Kennedy is heading Lucasfilm now. I mean, she spoke at Celebration about how important it was to have. More women in that cast, and there was original uproar when the episode 7 cast was first announced, and it was followed up very shortly by Lupita and Gwendolyn Christie being cast.
Yes.
But so as far as you're saying about the biracial relationships, I mean, I know absolutely nothing about what's happening. However, logic says that more likely than not, Finn and Rey will probably get together, which means you will have a black guy and a white woman. In a relationship. I mean, don't quote me on that, but it's a very strong possibility that will happen in this new trilogy. So we're seeing it.
Slowly.
You, with the hair.
It's true, I have that. So jumping back to the some of the merchandise stuff, especially like the Marvel merchandise, a possible issue I see, and I'm wondering if you have ideas about working around it, is that so Black Widow gets left out of the Funko line, and the fix to that is to add Black Widow to the line, and then there are all these figures available, and Black Widow is one of them. But then you have something like Guardians of the Galaxy merchandise with a team where the woman is missing. You have Avengers merchandise where Black Widow is missing, also Hawkeye, but Black Widow
yeah.
is missing. And then the solution to that, as far as where what the companies then give or where we throw our money, is either now there's also going to be a Black Widow shirt, or somebody, you know, Her Universe or We Love Mind is going to produce something that is very female specific, and then everything sells, but it still doesn't get you a team shirt that also has Black Widow on it. Do you see a way, like, where do we throw our money to also make that happen?
You know, you support people who don't make the my boyfriend is a super, or I need a boyfriend who's a superhero shirts. You try. It's kind of the same thing. You know, when those products exist, you purchase them, but it's more speaking up and letting them know you want those products and continually writing, you know, making an effort to talk to those companies on Twitter, to talk to the licensors on Twitter. Do you have a suggestion?
Can I follow up on that?
Yeah.
Sure. I want to just talk to everybody. Sorry, steal the floor from you guys for a little bit. I'll come up here
usually be consuming.
I'm Constantine. I have no British accent. I'm sorry. I'm terrible at it. So next Saturday, we've been working with people on Facebook to organize a multi-city Black Widow flash mob using the hashtag #WeWantWidowOnline. And so in D.C., we're going to be meeting in front of the International Spy Museum.
I'm sorry. It's not actually funny.
Really yeah.
She's a spy. It makes sense. Plus, also, permitting for, like, anywhere else is awful. It's going to be in New York. New York Comic Con has, like, a big expo thing next weekend. So it's going to be there.
There's a big Facebook event for it.
Is there a Facebook? Okay.
Yeah, there's a big Facebook.
And that's a great point. Like, supporting events like that and making a big splash. So show licensees, like, hey, people like Black Widow. Maybe we should make more stuff. Maybe we should be more inclusive.
Yeah, so Poison Ivy way in the back has cards that have more information on it. But it is, we're using Black Widow as kind of like a symbol for all of our female characters that we know and love, and to get more of her out there, not just in merchandise, but get her a movie. She's had more screen time, I think, than any of the other Avengers. If through all their other movies, I think it's high time she has her own. Captain Marvel, and so many fantastic female characters in literature and comic books that deserve to be on the big screen. So,
yep.
I just
nice. Awesome.
Yeah,
no, great. Thank and you. That kind of stuff, yeah. Like, it, people notice. Yeah. Like, yep. Companies notice when you make big movements like that. So that kind of stuff goes away. It, like, it sends messages to licensees.
Oh, and it's
but
international. We have people meeting in Sydney and
that's amazing.
Cool. Fantastic.
All right, we're going to try and get through as many of you as we can.
So we
sorry.
About, yeah, we
we'll try
about,
to,
like,
talk fast.
6 or 7 minutes? Yeah.
Go for it.
The colored light casting versus creating a character of color or of specific, how do you feel that works for representation? My first thought is, can Branagh's Much Ado About Nothing?
Yeah.
The number of people who complained about Denzel Washington and Keanu Reeves playing brothers, I mean, there's a big enough age difference they can.
Right? Yeah.
But anyway, so that was the question.
I think they're both good. I mean, in order, a lot of times in order, I think some companies will use colorblind casting as an excuse to be like, oh, this was just the best person for the job. They happen to be white. LOL, let's move on. but in the case of, I think you need to have both. You need to have those characters who are specifically made and they're specifically looking for people of color. But then you also have situations like Michael B. Jordan cast as Johnny Storm. I'm not sure what the plan for that was, but whoever made that decision, I think they made it like colorblind originally, because they cast the dad much later. I mean, well done there.
Yeah,
go.
My question hopefully will be quick, which is, what are some ways that we can make a solution? I like that a lot of the questions we had recently here have been about solutions. I heard table flipping, blogging, talking to the merchandisers, and because it's pop culture, it's going to be, the end answer is going to be putting your money somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you recommend talking to so we're not just kind of in an echo chamber saying bad things are wrong?
To the same people, because everyone who's here knows the problem.
Yes.
Right.
So who are we talking to?
She's gonna handle this one.
It specifically depends on what you're looking for. For like, if it's merchandise, if it's toys, right? If it's Hasbro, whoever the licensee is, whether it's Hasbro, Sideshow Collectibles, take a minute, write them. And write them, a real letter if you want. Send them an email. If it's, a clothing company, write them directly. So if it's representation in that area, it's specifically writing the licensee. If it's representation overall, write Marvel, write DC. So it kind of depends where you're looking. So look for the company or their licensee.
Can I add something to that? When you contact these people, social media has become the most beautiful way to communicate. And the whole, honey gets more bees than vinegar. I'm mad as hell that every time I see a Latino or a Latina anywhere, she's cleaning somebody's house.
Right.
It drives me nuts. So I have been proactive in making comments, but I've been cool about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Just be cool. It's the will be cool. Don't be a dick.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Be polite.
Just be
people positive. Respond to it
and
better.
The more you show the joyfulness of the diversity,
spiritual side of it. And, like, you get, I mean, I just got free shoes from Crocs because I said, look, I love them, but they tore, so they sent me a new pair.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're just honey, big giant pots of honey.
Yep, agree. Okay.
Okay. Also, I'm sorry. I'm just going to ask everyone real quick. If you, like, have 5 seconds after we exit this panel, just let's all meet there and do, like, a huge group photo, because I love all of you so much.
Esther has lots of love.
I have a lot of love.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Sorry, we're trying to... Okay. We talk too much.
To what extent do you believe that the Bechdel test is useful as an indicator of the quality of female-centric content?
It's not.
It's
I mean, I think it's a good indicator of whether or not you have two female characters who talk, and to be honest, that should be a bare minimum, but as far as quality, I don't think two female characters talking together about some topic that's not a man is, says anything about the quality of a work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My question was kind of how you felt about things that are lauded and celebrated as having, like, great diversity and great representation, but are, like, racist or homophobic and offensive in other ways, and, like, one of my examples is the movie Paranorman, I think it was, where in it, it turns out, like, the jock, like, the football player character is gay, and everyone was like, oh my god, so great, but, like, there's only, like, one black person in the entire movie, and she is a sassy black woman stereotype, like, snapping and twirling, and the second example is the video game Bioshock Infinite, I mean, I think it was Infinite, in which there's, like, a rebel leader, like, all the black people are right. Like, still slaves in this floating city, and she's like the rebel leader. And it's cool. I was like, oh, that's cool at the beginning, but at the end, she's like, they present her as just as bad as the oppressor, they present her as a child murderer, and it was just really awful when people told me it was great.
Yeah, I think it ties back to a previous question we had about the representation, whether we want bad representation there or none at all. It's not ideal, and we obviously want to see characters who are better there, and hopefully we'll get to a point where we don't see this.
Yeah,
but it's so hard to answer that.
Yeah,
just like,
and also one of the things I had to learn growing up was that just because that there are problematic faves and that there's like problematic stuff, and like not everyone gets every aspect of it. Not everyone gets intersectionality. Not everyone gets that, like, you know, that every, like, everyone deserves their own kind of, like, representation. And so, again, like, yeah, like, you either decide that you're going to enjoy certain parts because those are the parts you enjoy and then kind of try to ignore the rest, or you go try to find the things that do manage to represent everything well. So, yeah.
I am so sorry. We're being told we have to stop.
Okay, yeah.
We want to thank every one of you for coming out here.
You guys are our favorites.
Yeah, thank you. If for all of us, if you want to hear... Amy and I are both very active on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at ChaosBria. Amy is at Amy_geek.
Uh-huh.
You just find Esther at Phantom Comics.
Yeah,
she's there all the time. I don't think she ever leaves.
I live there.
Yeah, I think we'll be outside for a few minutes if any of you guys want to talk to us for a little bit later.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.